today, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Jesus Good News Station, day, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Big bucks off
there. On Medicare.
Medicare.
Are we on? Wait a minute. You're supposed to say we're on.
We're on.
And we have an absolutely gorgeous producer today. She's picking up Pastor Tom's spot because Pastor Tom is home recovering. Can you imagine a guy recovering for a whole week over just having quadruple bypass surgery rather than working?
Well, he's really milking it.
He's milking it, laying around at home. I hope he's listening.
Yeah, we hope he's listening. Tom, seriously, I hope you recover real quick. We miss you. Come on back.
We sent out a prayer call for you last week. So all that pain you have, if we hadn't have done that, you'd probably be in worse pain.
That's right.
So
we got you covered.
That should cover. Anyway, we were just talking about Medicare. And for those of you that are under age 65, I want to continue this conversation just a little bit. Because what happens when you turn age 65, quote, you automatically are enrolled in Medicare, but not the whole system unless you opt in. So there's Part A and B. Part A is hospital. Part B is doctors.
But you're not automatically enrolled. You have to enroll.
However, then the hospital has like a $1,000 or $800 deductible, whatever it is. And the Part B, which is the doctors, they pay 80% of the bill, period. Now, you can get a supplement, which then says the insurance company will pick up the difference that Medicare doesn't pay. And for that, when you turn 65, I'm using a rough estimate. It's not, this is, don't take this as gospel. It's roughly $200 a month. Could be 150, could be 220, depending on the company, but roughly. And then, no matter where you want to go, as long as they accept Medicare, the doctor and the hospital, which they all do pretty much, unless they're a pediatrician or something, you know.
Or a real specialist.
Yeah. Then you're covered. Now, you also can opt not to do that. You can opt to go into an HMO, health management organization, health maintenance, or a PPO, preferred provider organization. And the way it works is this. Now, don't take this as gospel either. But Medicare basically contracts with these companies. And let's say they say, okay, we have Joe Martech as a victim. Well, excuse me, wrong word. As a client.
Patient.
Medicare says, okay, fine, we know Joe. We will give you $6,000 a year to take care of him. But no matter what happens to him during the course of the year, if nothing happens, you keep the $6,000. If it costs you $150,000 to keep him alive, that's your problem. You got to pay it. And they're willing to contract with Medicare to do that. So there's restrictions on the HMO or the PPO, meaning you got certain doctors you can go to. You have a copay very often, $5, $10, $20, whatever. If you go outside the network, the copay can be a little bit higher. It's insignificant in the scope of things. So the concept is, though, that in order for the objective is, in order for the HMO insurance company or PPO insurance company, in order to make a profit, they want to keep you healthy. So, and I got to give them credit. I mean, they bug me to death trying to keep me healthy.
Well, yeah.
They give me a heart attack trying to keep me healthy.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what? Some people are more difficult than others to keep healthy.
It's true. Anyway, that's just a quickie that Vince Rizzino, CPA, who is sitting across from me, and I were talking about just before we started. And this is the Team Martech Hour. And the team, there's two of us here out of a total of six. And we never know who for sure is going to show.
Is Mike showing up today?
Maybe. You know, Mike showed up this morning on the morning show, and Victoria and Dan.
Yeah. Are they coming? Nobody's coming.
Have you noticed anybody else sitting here besides you?
Not yet, but I mean, it's only 4:05.
I know it. You know, most times people are pretty close to on time. Mike, his office is a long ways from here. It's like 3 blocks.
3 blocks from here, but he shows up sometimes right at the last minute.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to give him credit. He works.
I know. And the rest of us. The mortgage, except for you.
Well, except for me, of course. But the mortgage business is pretty demanding right today, which is good because that's how he gets paid.
Oh, it's very demanding because, you know, there's a lot of houses being sold, a lot of refinances going on.
So let's just talk about how we operate as a group and why we're here and what we do to help people. Joe Martek's a financial advisor. That means I've also got synonyms for that. Stockbroker, securities principal, lots of licenses. I've got, I think, 4 or 5 state licenses, and I've got 2 or 3 federal or national licenses. And basically, I handle investments for people. Some people want to get income. Some people don't. Some people are long-term. Some people are short-term. Some people have questions when it comes to IRAs. In fact, last week we talked about...
We talked about solo IRAs last week.
401k.
401ks, I'm sorry.
Which
solo 401ks.
Allows up to $58,000 a year, I think.
That's if you're over 50.
Yeah. Can be put aside and you don't pay tax on it.
59,000, yeah.
59, and you don't pay tax on it, and then when you start taking it out at a later date, then you'd pay it based on your income then. But let's say you're making big money because you're in real estate right now and it's hot, and you're making $250,000 or $500,000 a year, you can put that money aside and not pay tax on it. And
it's
then
a beautiful thing, Joe.
Oh, it's
the you know, the employer can put, you as your own employer could put in $18,000 plus if you're over 50.
Right.
And then you could put in an additional amount up to $59,000. Based on your self-employment earnings.
Great program.
It's a beautiful program.
Let's just take a regular person who doesn't have that kind of income or doesn't have the ability to save that much. A traditional IRA, if you're under age 50, it's $5,500 a year.
Correct.
Over 50, it's $6,500.
Correct.
Now, it has to be earned income. Everything we're talking about here, by the way, is earned income that shows up on your tax return. You can't take that money out of passive income, which means interest income or dividend or...
You basically have to have W-2 or LLC income or 1099, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like if you own rental properties, that's not the same unless you hired a company to manage them and they paid you. Somehow or other, it's got to be wages.
It's got to be wages.
Got to be wages. Okay. So
self-employment earnings.
The rules... there's all kinds of different retirement plans, and that's why we got into talking about them. We started talking, and one of the listeners, thank you very much, Tyler, I think was
Tyler
his name.
Tyler was his name, yeah. Tyler, he brought up this very solo 401k, and frankly, it's sort of out there, but not very well known.
Well, you know what happens is it's not a ton of people that are making a lot of money like that, but right now, especially some markets, real estate is especially hot, and some people are. And there's nothing wrong with avoiding tax. It's totally legal, and it's almost your responsibility to do such a thing if you're smart in the long run. So that was a good question. So Vince Rizzino, CPA, when we started doing these shows, the concept was, let's put together a group of local professionals that help people. And when I started doing these shows, we're guessing back in 2004, because none of us can remember that far back, the concept was very simple. I'm a financial advisor. I'm here to make people money, try to help them with these different instruments for retirement or for a living. I mean, you know, let's face it, folks. If you've got money in the bank, bank's going to pay you a big one, maybe a half. They're not going to pay you much. So take $100,000. A lot of times people retire, come down from up north. They said, I've got $100,000. Oh, boy. I can get $5,000 or $6,000 or $8,000 a year, but not in the bank. You can get one.
Get one, yeah.
Or 500. So my job is to get people 5 or 6 and not take undue risk. We try to make these things. If they want to get into some riskier stuff, I can show them how to do it. And there's different vehicles for people. It depends on their, quote, we call it in the business, risk tolerance and or objective. What are you looking to accomplish? So Vince Rizzino, CPA, probably... on a weekly or biweekly basis, I call him up because invariably after 20-some years in business, questions come up that I still don't know the answer to. Always amazes me.
And you never ask an easy one.
Yeah.
And I guess you wouldn't need me around if I had all easy ones.
Well, the other side of the question is the tax code is only like 70,000 pages.
It's 72,000 and it grows every day.
Yeah, they keep...
They keep modifying, correcting. Even now, they're talking things in Congress now. They're putting exemptions for the Olympiads. Really. They've got so much going on. And they're doing nothing. They got them in committee, and Lord knows.
Does this sound normal?
Yes, politics? It is normal politics.
It'd drive you nuts. I heard an interesting thing. The head of the IAF, International Monetary Fund, or whatever it is, Lagarde, I think is her name, in France or something. Yeah. She said the Olympics have come around every 4 years, and the Olympics really, even though it's quite a feather in their cap for cities to get them, they cost an absolute fortune. Almost nobody makes money.
They don't make any money on those.
Now, Los Angeles is trying to get 8 years down the road, and they say, we have the infrastructure all there. They've got the University of Southern Cal or whatever, and it's summertime. The kids aren't there, so they got all the dorms. Everything is there. Anyway, they've got some benefits from a dollar standpoint. Yeah. But Lagarde came up, and she says, you know, we should go back to the original concept and just do this in Greece only. Have a permanent facility in Greece, and everybody would go to Greece every 4 years. And that's where the whole thing started.
Yeah, exactly.
And that kind of makes sense to me.
You wouldn't be spending all these millions upon millions every 4 years because you'd be going all over the place. Well, lucky, the same thing could be said of the Super Bowls, Joe, although the stadiums are pretty much built.
They make money, though.
That's why, because the infrastructure is probably already built. What they spend money on is security and more cops and, you know, that whole
thing. However, they... You know, advertising, you name it, they make a fortune. Super Bowl, football, hey, this is capitalism at its best or worst, depends on who you want to talk to. Whereas the Olympics is not. This is supposed to be almost a nonprofit thing. Now, the vendors all get to make money that are supplying it, but the government that puts in the infrastructure, and poor Brazil, they got enough problems, so they're taking a pretty good hit on the chin. Anyway. I got a kind of an interesting thing Lagarde came up with.
Yeah, we were just talking about the Olympians and what they're trying to do for them.
Yeah, it was interesting. Anyway, so when we started doing the shows, what I really wanted to have local professionals, the first two were Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Why? Well, an independent insurance agent doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for the client, and normally he'll have... Now, you can be an independent and just have one company, but if you are... In my humble opinion, the premier insurance agent on the Treasure Coast, you've got almost 100 companies under your umbrella, and Dan's people just do a magnificent job for people, and his name of his game is very simply is to try to save people money.
And he does a good job at it, Joe.
Very good job.
And he's saved me money personally, and many of my clients. So,
yeah, yeah. Mike was on the morning show, which I'll talk about right now. And I'll interlace him with Dan for a second, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. What happens is when you buy a house and you want to get a mortgage, you have to qualify based on income. And if you don't have enough income, you can't afford a certain house because you've got to be able to afford to make the payment. So they have these rules. Well, included in the payment is taxes and insurance. And let's say the homeowner's insurance is $3,000 a year. And let's just say that's $500 or $800 too much and you can't qualify. Well, Dan has been able numerous times to help Mike with these clients find insurance companies that fit the criteria to get the house insured at a favorable price because Dan's got enough companies that he can shop them. And if the house doesn't meet the criteria, they have ways to get the house up to the criteria that the insurance company wants. So Dan is just... Really
yeah, Mike says it saved quite a number of deals for him where they wouldn't be able to qualify otherwise because the premium, I mean, Dan was able to get them a very substantial discount. So that helped out Mike in getting them into a house.
Yeah.
And everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy. Which leads me into another subject with Mike while I'm off of Dan now. I'm back on Mike.
Back on Mike, okay.
So my girl Nikki, who's probably not listening now because I can talk about her.
She's not listening because you can talk about her?
Yeah, because now she's going to pick up her kids, you know, from school and stuff like that. So she's driving, and when the kids are screaming in the car, she's not listening to the radio. But she was talking about her mom and her buying 5 acres with two houses on it.
Nice.
Well, so Mike says, yeah, do you know that FHA allows you to buy up to a four-family apartment building structure? You live in one of them and get 3.5% down, and get this favorable rates for FHA.
You live in one and you rent the other three?
Yeah. And they even count the rent towards qualifying.
Wow.
I mean,
what deal is that?
I'm telling you, what a deal.
Wow.
And by the way, folks, anybody who wants to jump in and talk to Vince Rosino, CPA, or Joe Martek, financial advisor, you call 1-888. Now, class, you're supposed to write this number down.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is important.
We want phone calls.
1-888-221-8990. Now, that number is toll-free from any place, including the Bahamas.
Is that free for anybody who's listening to us?
Anybody that can hear us, call that number, 1-888-221-8990.
Including the Bahamas.
Including the Bahamas. Nice. Yeah, because, you know, the country code is 1. America.
Oh, okay. Got
so it. Interesting. And the 888 is a toll-free number. Now, I'm not sure that the Bahamians don't charge you money to get out of the Bahamas, but I know that you're not going to charge on this thing. 1-888-221-8990. Now, other members of the group, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Well, here's what's happened is, and over the years, we've watched the Great Recession hit, and we saw real estate burst, the bubble. And we heard new words called short sales, and then there was deed backs, foreclosures, HARP 1, HARP 2, on and on and on. So all of a sudden, a realtor became a really critical part of the infrastructure for a lot of people so that they could keep their house, get it refinanced, qualify, and somebody that could understand all of the systems. And Victoria's only been in real estate since, I think, 1978.
And she's only 30 years
old. Only 30 years old. You know, now Italians, you know how they are. They always
that olive skin. You know? Keeps them looking young.
It keeps them looking young. So, and then last but not least, very definitely was one of the three originals, was Greg Fasula, attorney. Why? Well, one of the first things I do when I talk to a new suspect or prospect is talk about a will or a trust. And I try to educate people on which is the better vehicle. And explain how these vehicles work. I get people that call me up and say, Joe, Dad died. I need to see an attorney for probate. And I said, really?
Probate.
Why do you think probate? And they tell me why. And I say, I hate to tell you, you don't need probate because Dad's house is not subject because it's a homestead. Some things are not subject to probate. So before you start looking out to hire, you need to learn just a little bit. And let me guide you a little bit. Maybe I can save you a few hundred dollars and maybe a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying all attorneys are not scrupulous or unscrupulous, but very often if they can figure a way to make a buck, they're going to do it. And sometimes the T's and the I's, if they do them perfectly, might end up costing you a lot of money. So anyway, one of the things that we do as a group is try to work through your eyes and your system and your circumstances to try to help you the best we can. So, group, Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, and Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. So, I'm looking.
That's quite a team.
Yeah, you got to figure out how, if I didn't have enough fingers, I couldn't remember all those people.
Well, that's why God gave you fingers, right? That's so you could count on them.
Yeah, you know, well, I was going to take off my shoe in a minute. I thought they might
God, then that would have definitely been a problem.
This would have been a problem. All right. Hey, listen, folks, an extra prayer for Pastor Tom wouldn't hurt. He's home recovering. He had quadruple bypass surgery. He's doing fine, but we know, and you know, anybody that's gone through this type of surgery, it's very traumatic. It's very painful. Usually very successful, but it's a lot of pain. And when they start stripping veins out of your legs and they crack your chest bone open and lay your heart out there and drop it on the floor and kick it around a little.
I don't think so.
Sometimes they have to rinse it off first before they put it back. But anyway, this is not like the restaurant with the 5-second rule. Anyway,
no.
1-888-221-8990. So anything new and exciting in the tax business?
No, it's quiet. It's quiet time of year. You probably won't see any activity on the tax front until later on in the year because that's when the committee starts seriously looking.
The politicians are just talking. Nobody's paying much attention to what they say.
Right now, it's all about the election coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of them are home campaigning for their candidate.
Oh boy!
So
yeah,
I think they're still in recess right now, Congress.
Yeah.
I mean, even they're off in recess.
Even when they're,
we don't, you know, have dead lie or what do they call it, gridlock. And,
yeah,
and
well, even when they're working, they're in recess. I think, you know, if you listen to one talk about the other one, you know, you can. It's a sad state listening to all these guys and what they're going with. Anyway. 1-888-221-8990. So if you have questions regarding anything to do with an IRA, anything to do with a 401k, anything to do with savings, anything to do with your taxes, today would be a good day to call.
Absolutely.
Let me give you a call we had today, which was a brand new one.
Brand new?
Yeah. Every time I get a call that's, you know, Vince, you've been in business 700 years, but
you know, you're over exaggerating just a tiny bit.
We're talking usage of years, not necessarily chronological.
Oh, okay. Then it's a 1,000 years.
A thousand years, right? That when people come up with a new question, I'm always amazed after being 20 and 30 years hanging around that there's always a new subject that comes up, and this was a new one. So here's a fellow calls up and he says, I own a house. I'm surrounded by all commercial property. The commercial property, doctor's office, dentist office, and stuff, but my house is my homestead and it's called. How do I change that?
Yeah, because you probably could sell it to one of the doctors.
Well, here comes the question. So I said, point is, if everybody around you is zoned commercial and you're zoned residential commercial, probably, which means you have it homesteaded, you go down to the city or the county, wherever you're located, he's in a city of, and talk to the people and explain what you want to do and what you want to accomplish. However, you got to be a little bit worried. Just a little bit worried. If you have a homestead, homestead is based on a certain tax rate with a maximum of 3% a year increase once it's homesteaded. If you're in a commercial property, they tax it differently.
Right.
And the taxes could dramatically go up.
There's no limitations.
There. No limitation. And the value of the property when it's commercial is usually higher than residential, usually. So let's say his house is worth $100,000 and he pays $200 a year in taxes. That could make it worth $300,000 or $400,000 commercial, and he might pay $5,000 or $6,000 a year. So he has to know these things before he goes in. Don't just automatically apply for it. On the other hand, if he went down there and found out that it was just a procedure to get the zoning changed,
mm-hmm.
you know, what we suggested was find out what the procedure is, what it's going to cost, how long it would take, and sell the house subject to the zoning. So that way, you basically would be able to not incur a tax penalty if it took you a year or two or three to sell it. But in the meantime, you'd have the county or city willing to make the changes based on an application.
Oh. That's a good idea. That was a good advice, John.
Yeah, we were, well, it wasn't
because
me.
Because he doesn't have to then divulge his intention.
Yeah.
And have them come back and adjust his taxes.
He doesn't want to give up your homestead. And if he,
and give it up, yeah. No.
You know, if you're paying $200 or $300 and now you're paying $3,000 or $4,000 or $2,000, you know, that's a big chunk of difference.
Oh, my goodness.
So you want to protect that as if, and his, you know, as we said, is that your goal? Would you like to sell it? He said, yes. You know,
well, I'm sure he's been approached.
Well,
I had a client up in New York that had that situation.
Same situation?
Same situation. He was right near a hospital. There were residential homes that were converted to offices.
Yeah, because they're near a hospital.
They're near the hospital. And, you know, they made him all kinds of offers. He finally gave up and sold it. He made a really nice penny on it because they wanted that space. It was right near the hospital.
Think about it. There are certain pieces of real estate that are close to certain businesses or something that, if you're going to go visit your doctor and your doctor has to do rounds in a hospital, the doctor wants to be as close as humanly possible to that hospital, you know, while he's visiting in between.
It's very desirable space when you're near the hospital.
Yeah.
So think of downtown Stewart. Look what you got all on the Osceola.
Well, and it's also attorneys. They want to be near the courthouse.
Right, exactly.
Same thing. If they're going to go testify or play in court and do whatever, they want to be close. So that those pieces of real estate end up with a different value. In fact, some years ago, I owned a house, and here it is. Good Christian kid. What do I know the rules? But I was less than a half a mile away from a synagogue.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't know I was. Because it's not my problem. Well, you know, the Jews are supposed to walk the temple on Friday night.
Uh huh.
So any houses within a walking distance have a higher value.
Oh. So you didn't know this.
I was one happy Christian boy.
There you go.
It was just a little tiny thing that, you know, you learned only just because I was in the right place at the wrong time or vice versa.
So what are you saying? If you look for real estate, you should buy near a synagogue?
Yeah, but, you know, usually
you're paying a premium.
Usually you're paying
a
premium price. I just got lucky. 1-888-221-8990. Now, come on, folks. You got to have some questions. You know, this is summer vacation's over. Kids are back to school.
That's right. You got to have questions. You got to have some tax questions.
Tax.
Maybe you're going to start a business or you'd like to ask some questions.
Let's talk about starting a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is something that people, usually if you want to start a business, it's a bit of an emotional endeavor that you have a thing in your head and your heart and you think this is going to be a great thing. Well, it's very hard to be objective when you're emotionally involved. So very often what we suggest strongly is that you go to somebody like Vince, a CPA who looks at things more realistically, just to see what are the good news and the bad news. He got a caller. We'll take it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Thank you for calling.
Yes, Joe, hi. My name's Jerry, and I've got a few questions
for you guys. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, hey, what I've got, guys, in a nutshell, I'm on Social Security. I'm 65. Make about $1,700 a month. Work part-time driving a limousine, which is sporadic, but I'm thinking about going back into the full-time job market where I'll make about $750 a week plus benefits. I want to know how I can protect my Social Security and if that would be by using a 401k and an IRA to their maximum amount.
Go ahead, Vince. This is a tax. If he's $750 a week, that's 30 some thousand a year, right?
Yeah. Well, I have a question for you to start. You said you were 65 and you're on Social Security. Yeah. What is your normal retirement age? How old are you? I mean, you're 65, so which means your normal retirement
you took it early. You took your Social Security early, is it?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're limited as to what you can earn.
However, when he turns 66, he's not limited anymore.
That's correct. When you turn 66, which is normal retirement age, then you could make any amount of money that you want without a penalty. You'll pay income tax, of course, but you won't get a penalty in terms of the benefit having been clawed
back. You already know that rule. If you earn too much money when you take your Social Security early, you have to pay back a portion of it. Okay. But once you're 66, it's 66 in a month or two.
It depends on the year of birth. And each year, it increments by a month, depending on when you're born. If you're born in 1952, for example.
Well, he's 65. You know. Yeah. So when you turn 66, basically, you can earn any amount of money you want, and you're not going to have a penalty. However, Vince, what portion of the Social Security income is subject to tax?
Okay. He's got two concerns. One of them is income tax.
Right.
And the other is Social Security benefit itself. The income tax piece is there's a formula for this, but when it comes out to if you're making more than about $32,000 a year, and about 24 if you're single. I don't know if you're married, the caller, or if you're married.
Okay, I'm married.
Yeah,
that's good.
Then your combined income could be up in the 30, 32,000 or 34 in that range. And then if you make that money or less than that, then chances are your Social Security won't be taxed.
Will not be taxed.
Right. But if you go beyond that, then up to 85% of your Social Security benefit would be taxable.
Subject to
tax. It's taxable. Now, whether you get taxed or not is another matter.
It's subject to. Yeah.
What you want to know is how would you reduce your taxes in the event that you make more than you make enough money that would trigger the taxability of that income. Is that your question? How do you reduce your taxable income so that your Social Security won't be taxed? You could do that a number of ways. You could put away in a retirement plan. As long as you're working, you can still put money away. And that would reduce your AGI,
which is adjusted gross income,
which is the starting point to the calculation on what is taxable and how much of your Social Security.
Here's the question that Vince is going to ask, and I'm going to ask it for him. One, if you work for an employer and they have a 401k program, If I would have, then if they match any of it, you obviously want to match every bit you can, but they would have a limitation of how much you can put into that program. Mm-hmm. If you're self-employed, now we were, I don't know if you were hearing at the beginning of the program, but there are different types of retirement vehicles that allow you to put up to $59,000 a year aside, tax deferred, that you pay no tax on, until you're forced at age 70 and one half to start taking it, but prior to that you don't have to. So literally what you, it's a cart and a horse. Once you know what kind of job you're going to get, then you're going to have to work backwards with your employer or with Vince CPA or Joe Martek financial advisor to say, how do I maximize my income and minimize my tax hit?
Yeah, I heard of one of your programs a couple of weeks ago when you touched on a few of these things. And right now, being in the limo driving to Miami from West Palm Beach, I got a little time to talk. Oh, I thought I'd give you a call.
Well, I'm glad you did call. Well, you see, hopefully we helped you a little bit.
Are you self-employed?
I've heard this from other guys, lay people, let's call them. I thought, hey, let's talk to the pros, right?
Good. Now, back again, if you're a limo driver, are you working for a company or are you doing it on your own?
Of a freelance company.
Okay.
So I'm, and I have to file, my own.
You have to file your own taxes. You get a 1099.
That's what I was fishing for.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to, right now, I'm purposely looking for a big corporate job in the field I was in, and there's a couple out there, and I thought, you know what? Let's stick corporate and get here for a few more years and put a little money away if we can, and sounds like a better deal.
Well, there you go to the 401k with the employer, and if they don't do one, then you're going to go into an IRA, either a Roth or a traditional, and you're at 6,500. Is your wife working?
No.
Well, the other side of the coin is you can actually contribute to an IRA for her also as a spousal, even if she's not working. So you could probably put $12,000 or $13,000 a year aside under the worst of circumstances and not pay tax on it.
Say, caller, this is just an aside, but is your wife collecting also Social Security?
No, she won't be for a couple of years.
Okay.
All right. Is she over 62?
Not yet.
Okay. So she doesn't, okay. So right. I scratch that.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, when you get closer, call us back.
Almost 10 months ago. So.
Okay. Yeah, because there's still a loophole if you're over 62 years of age. There's a loophole to allow her to collect a spousal benefit based on your earnings for your lifetime if they were higher than her own. I'm sure you're aware of that, but you had to be 62 by the end of last year, and if she wasn't, then...
So much for that.
So much for that. The Congress closed that loophole.
Yeah. They used to be saying, we want to marry a younger woman, only this time it backfired, right?
Hey, guys, you're doing a great job. I appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Same to you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-221-8990. Now, we've kind of had questions like that, but that's a pretty valid when you start to think about how can I avoid losing a portion of my Social Security, one. Two, how, when I am collecting Social Security, how can I avoid getting taxed on my Social Security?
You know, I didn't ask him how long he's been collecting, but if it's less than a year, he might be able to undo.
Well, he said 2 years.
Oh, it's 2 years? Okay, forget that one. Because he's locked into the Social Security now.
He can't pay it back.
Because if he could, then, it'd be ideal for him because he could go back to work.
Sometimes you can pay it back and go back to work. And
then your benefit bills.
Yeah.
Right now, he's locked in.
But if
on
he's over a year, he can't. He's done. Yeah, he said a couple of years.
A couple of years. Yeah, well, it's unfortunate. So,
yeah, that's just another wrinkle, and just if you're still listening on a radio, if you literally you're 12 months or less, you could pay it back, call Social Security, stop it and pay it back, and I don't know what the terms are for paying it back. Vince, do you know?
Yeah, I think you pretty
Is
much,
it all at one time?
I think you have to pay it back at once.
And sometimes it pays you to do that, even if you had to borrow it, because if you're going to go to work and you're making the money, now all of a sudden you wait until you're 66, 7, 8, and he's a year away from getting full benefit.
Exactly.
But I think he did say a couple of years.
Well, so that's unfortunate. But we're trying every angle.
We're working on it. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Now here... Hey, boy, that worked really well. Thank you, caller. You did that well. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
I had a question. I'm looking to open my own business. I've been with the same company for 13 years, and I've got about 50,000 in 401k.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what I should do with it when I leave the company, if I should just keep it into their investment funds or go somewhere else with it.
Let me give you a quick answer. Once you leave in a company, the employer, most people roll that over, it's tax-free exchange, into their own self-directed IRA, which means you can invest it wherever you want. Now, the reason for that, there's a couple. One, most 401k plans have limited investment options because that's the way they're structured. And secondly, they have a charter that says the company has certain rules that wouldn't necessarily be to your advantage, especially if you're not working in there anymore. Third, some 401ks make it mandatory that when you leave that you roll them out. So what I would do as you get closer is explore your possibilities, but the reality is this: it doesn't cost you a nickel to roll from point A to point B. It's a tax-free exchange. Only time you're going to pay tax is when you put the money in your pocket.
Okay.
Now, let me give you another wrinkle, though. You're going to start a business. Is the business going to cost money?
Yeah.
Do you have money other than your 401k?
No, I was going to get a small business loan.
Well, okay. So I would obviously explore that, too. One of the things that happens is there's a possibility a 401k allows you to borrow money, even though it's your own money, and not pay tax on it. So we're now talking about some options for you. One, small business. Two, you've got $50,000 sitting in a 401k. Maybe you could borrow $10,000 or $20,000 out of that money and use it for your business and not pay tax on it because it's a loan. Even technically, you're loaning it to yourself, but you'd have to pay it back over a prescribed period of time.
You've got to be careful with that, Joe, because a lot of those plans, once you leave employment, if he goes and starts the business, it's going to trigger
a repayment.
It depends on the plan.
If you roll your 401k into a solo 401k, what kind of business are you thinking about starting?
Mobile heavy equipment business.
You're going to drive your own truck and work by yourself, no employees?
Yes, sir.
Okay. There's some options there that we
could... Yeah, but the loans, Joe, if you borrow against the 401k, you're not going to be able to transfer that with a loan.
But what about a solo?
Well, he could do it in addition or supplementary to what he's got.
But can't you roll your existing 401k
into
a solo?
But not with a loan that's attached to it, is the point.
No, you don't do it first. You do it after you roll it.
Well, then you'd have to do it after.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. You can roll it into if you're self-employed, you could roll it into
a solo 401. Yeah. Anyway, there's some wrinkles here that this is what Vince and I do. We beat these things up constantly and look for the best way for you to maximize your potential without paying tax. So, you've got a couple of avenues to run with there, so just do some exploring, and if you need more help, you know where we are. You can call us anytime.
All righty. Thank you so much. This is the first time I've ever listened to your show. It's very interesting.
Well, we're on every Wednesday from 4 o'clock till 5 p.m., and if you left your name and phone number and you want us to talk to you off the air, we'd be glad to do that.
I did leave my name and phone number.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, Cole. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. I'd love your guys' advice and be guided in the correct way.
You got it. Thank you, caller.
And make sure.
Thank you so much.
And one thing, caller, before you go, you should really sit down with a professional and decide what form of entity you're going to be operating under when you do form that business and you do go forward with it.
In fact, we're going to talk about that in a minute. You're listening to us on a car radio?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You keep listening for a minute because we're going to talk about that in some detail. And this is one of Vince's main objectives is to help people set up their businesses properly.
Oh, great.
All right.
So what you're saying is if I wanted to borrow out of my 401k, roll it over first.
Yep.
Because you can't, like you said, you can't borrow it out of it and then leave a business because you got to pay taxes on it.
So what you have to either pay it back.
Yeah, you've always got to pay it back. Here's what happened. Right. And but
yeah,
if you don't pay it back, then it's going to be subject to tax. I mean, it's just a, how old are you?
43.
Okay, you'd have a double whammy. You'd have to not only pay it back, but you'd have to pay a penalty on top of the tax. So literally, you'd want to pay it back. Now, Vince can talk to you, and I can talk to you off air about what the structure would be to pay it back, based on your age and how much money it is, et cetera, and how to set this up. But what we're going to talk about now is how to set up a brand new business, because there's different ways to do it, and which is the best way for you to mitigate tax and avoid penalty and get the best insurance.
Absolutely.
Thank you for calling.
That's everything I'm looking into.
All right. Just keep listening, and we got your name and number, and we'll follow up with you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care, caller.
So, Vince, this is right up. This is exactly Absolutely. What we talk about all the time. And what I was leading into was trying to be objective when you're looking at a business yourself. And it's hard to be objective because you're emotionally involved with that. But if you structure your business improperly, it could end up costing you quite a bit of money and some aggravation. Am I right?
Yeah, a lot of it has to do is just basic ignorance, Joe. I mean, I had a client a couple of years ago came in and they had formed a C corporation. Because every corporation you form is by default, it's a C.
Automatically becomes a C.
So what does that mean? Well, I mean, a lot of businesses lose money in the first year. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
They got a lot of sunk costs. They got to buy all kinds of things. But what happens with a C corp is if you have losses, you can't utilize those losses
on a personal standpoint.
So there's no pass-throughs. So. And worse, if you had that C corp for the year and you lost money and then you decided to go out of business and go get a job again, the losses are suspended virtually forever until you earn money again inside it and then you can use them. But if you have, there are other entities that you could form, like the Nest Corporation, which is a pass-through. And I don't want to get too detailed, but you could do an LLC, which is another pass-through. Or you could form a partnership, and that's important to know what his direction is, where he's going, because he might have partners. And if he has partners, then that brings in another thing. Or if he's investing in real estate. He said he's not. He's going into the equipment business. Right. But these are some of the facets you want to look at when you're deciding what type of entity you're going to go. Because they're all taxed a little bit differently, and as we found out with the retirement plans, each entity has its own quirks about it in terms of how much you could put away for your retirement. So it's important that you know that too going in.
So the whole concept is this. If you structure it right from the beginning, you know, it's the cart and the horse. If you put the everybody in order, the pieces start to fall together and you come to a conclusion that's to your best advantage. So, you know, what he was just saying, I want to start a business if I'm going to be a sole proprietor. Okay, good. That allows him to roll over his existing 401k into a solo 401k. The 401k allows you to borrow money out of it without paying tax. You have to set up a structure to pay it back. The government has that all figured out for you, whether you like it or not. And then you avoid the tax as long as you, and the penalty as long as you pay it back, because all of these retirement plans, or almost all of them, say you're not allowed to take money out before you're age 59 and a half without, one, a penalty, and then you'd also pay tax, unless you have a 401k, and then you're allowed to borrow. Just a wrinkle that gives people an opportunity like he's looking for. So if the SBA comes in and says, okay, fine, we'll loan you 20 grand, 50 grand, 100 grand, pick a number, but you have to put in 10 or 20, and his only source is his 401k, he can borrow that money out of his 401k and then comply with the SBA and make the whole thing work. So once you have the cart and the horse in proper order, the next step is to talk to somebody like Vince, a CPA, and say, okay, fine, here's my structure. It's going to be me and my wife, or just me alone, or myself and my brother, or who knows what, and I want to start this structure. How do I do this to make it work with all of the apples and the carts and the horses and the cart all put in a proper order?
Because it also, Joe, it's not only on the way in, but you got to think about the exit strategy, if you will, on the way out, because they have tax implications depending on which direction you go. And so you now also have to think about when you open it up and what you're going to, but what happens when you want to leave? For example, C corporations, you got to be careful with those, B because there's double taxation there. When you get out, you get double whammed. You pay taxes while the money is in the company, and then if you take it out at the end, it's a dividend. So it's a dividend.
But income. I've also heard, even on a C corp, they, let's say you do work for somebody, and let's say you have $100,000 in receivables, and you never get paid. Well, sometimes that can be accounted as income, and you might be stuck under the structure, if you're structured wrong, paying tax on that money even though you didn't collect it. So you
well, get, yeah, that's what you're referring to, Joe, is the difference between a cash basis taxpayer
and
an accrual basis taxpayer. And there are advantages sometimes to being an accrual basis, but most professional organizations that I know are on a cash basis, most of them, because that means you only pay tax on the money you collect. And you get deducted. The flip side is you only get to deduct what you've paid and what you've charged on your credit card. Important, by the way. Credit cards are like cash.
Point is, what all these little tiny things add up to let's make an intelligent decision. And the more homework you do ahead of time, you know, because 90% of small businesses start and fail. Just a little minor, tiny statistic. And nobody goes into business looking to fail, but some are underfunded. Some don't have enough knowledge. There's all kinds of reasons. Well, if you can eliminate, the more reasons for failure you eliminate, the better your odds are for succeeding.
And, you know, there's a big, there are those that are out there, Joe, that try to be cute. The IRS is, they're not dumb. For example, they look at your earnings history. You know, you need to make earnings in 3 out of 5 years.
Yeah.
In order not to be considered a hobby. They used to call them the hobby rules.
Yeah, right.
But now they just say if you don't qualify, you have to qualify as a real
profit business. You can't lose money every year.
No. And because there's some people that, you know, they say that they're in business and then they write off everything. You know, I got my gas on my car.
Government doesn't allow. Carte blanche.
No.
So you need to know what the rules are and need somebody good you can work with. And literally, that's what we do as a group. I mean, very simply, if you look at our group, Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, probably knows more about real estate than the rest of us combined, and we're all old people. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker who works hand in glove, how to get people financed. And it also, how do you can help businesses get financed? I mean, this is, you know, mortgage people, there's just different ways to go.
And even though they're lightened up on the requirements, it's still difficult to get an SBA right now, particularly if you're just starting.
Yep. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Heck, here we go again. If you're going to start this company, you're going to have to be a legitimate business, and you have to be licensed, insured. You have to know what these costs are for each kind of business. There's workman's compensation, liability insurance, property. I mean, it's just aggravations of life, but these are all what you have to do. And then we start moving down the line. Vince, on more than one occasion in the last few months, people have walked in and said, Vince, here's a business we want to buy. Here's the books. Guy says he's making $1 million a minute. And Vince looks at it and says, well, I don't know where he's hiding it, because he's sure not showing it as income.
That happens both times, especially when you have cash type businesses, And it's unfortunate for these sellers, because in the past they weren't reporting.
They weren't reporting it.
And now they want to go sell it.
Oh boy.
And the buyer's saying, well, you don't show it. I'm not paying for it.
No.
It's a bind.
So there's a roll the dice type thing. You've got to make a decision. But once you have all the facts laid out, and the cart and the horse again in the right order, then it makes the decision process a little easier. So, and then last but not least, somebody like Joe Martek, financial advisor. As we were talking about rolling over a 401k into a solo 401k, or borrowing money against it, when you structure everything properly, you'd be surprised what you can accomplish without generating extra liability.
And talking about liability, Joe, there's a hot button item with employers now with how you classify your workers, whether you're independent contractors or not. And by the way, the company doesn't get to decide that.
No. Infernal does.
It's really a facts and circumstance case.
They don't like independent contractors.
Well,
I shouldn't say
that they don't like them, but they want to be able to collect dollar for dollar. If you're an employee, you're paying taxes on every dollar of wages.
Right.
If they put it as an independent and you're reporting it as a Schedule C or something like that, then you got all these deductions that we just talked about.
Right,
people get crazy. and they don't get as much in the Social Security as they would like.
So there's rules.
There's rules.
And once you know what the rules are, I mean, you know, it's pretty easy to be a realtor and be an independent contractor. It's easy to be a Joe Martech financial advisor. I'm an independent contractor. Vince Rosino, CPA, he's an independent contractor. Unless he's got a corporation with 100 of them in there, then he's got to be a partner or an owner or who knows what. So there's rules. Once you know the rules, then you pick your slot and make it work. 1-888-221-8990. You know, I've almost got that memorized.
I know. I haven't memorized it. Of course, I've listened to it so many times.
The good news is it's looking me in the face here on the wall. So, you know.
Yo, you can't miss that.
I really could if I closed my eyes. All right, folks. Now, you keep that number handy because understand what our group does. You've got a real estate expert, a mortgage expert, an insurance for your car, home, business, I don't care what it is, expert. An attorney,
legal expert,
a CPA, not only a regular CPA, Vince is also a forensic CPA, which he's recognized by the courts as an expert witness. So he gives him a little bit of extra credibility when, especially when he's arguing with the Infernal Revenue, he's got a lot of history on his side. And that counts points with the government too. And then Joe Martech, financial advisor. And that's exactly what it says. Now, understand there's different types of quote financial advisors. If you ever know somebody that calls themselves a financial planner, financial advisor, and they don't have the word on the bottom of their card or stationery, FINRA, FINRA, or SIPC, or securities offered through a broker dealer. Broker dealers are like Merrill Lynch, Dean Witter, Smith Barney, pick a name. They may not be regulated by the securities industry, and they may just be using that name, but they don't have the licenses to do all of the stuff. It's just something that you need to keep your eyes open for and understand and learn. You know, the word ignorant does not mean you're dumb. That means you haven't learned.
Ignorance actually is a technical term. That means lack of knowledge, Joe.
That's all it means.
That's all it means. You lack just don't have the knowledge. It's a lack of knowledge.
Get to be as old as you, Vince. You don't have much of that.
That's exactly right. You know what happens? You get more ignorant as you get older.
Yeah, right. I'm
only kidding, folks.
You know what I did? I told my girl, Nikki, when she started 3 years ago, I says, this business starts off real easy and it keeps getting harder every
That's
day.
That's true.
And it is because no matter what happens, it just seems like, wait a minute. How come I didn't learn that in 3 years, 10 years, or 20 years, something new comes up?
Well, you see, another thing you need to check is make sure that the person that you're dealing with is licensed and actively licensed.
Active.
Why? Because, I mean, I'm going through my CPAs. You know, as a CPA, we have continuing education requirements. For us, it's 40 hours a year.
Right, right.
And and I need a bit of it because the laws change.
Oh boy!
And we take specialty courses on Social Security
and all this.
Yep. And that's what allows me to help my clients because we get educated, we keep current, and then we learn new things.
Well, you know, I think everybody in our group has to do continuing education. I'm almost positive everybody does. In fact, Mike Paulus was saying today he's got to sit for 8 hours a year and physically sit down and do. Now, is this a note right now we're supposed to do something? He doesn't want to be.
Oh, okay.
Here comes the question. This is from Ron. If he collects Social Security at age 63, will it be taxed because his wife is still working? Well, answer that.
Well, that's a very good question. Will it be taxed? Really, if you file a joint return, the answer is the taxability is based on your joint modified adjusted gross income. So yes, it depends on what you join. If you're filing jointly,
so let's say she makes $30,000 a year, and he's making $12,000 a year in Social Security. So their joint income would be $42,000.
A small portion of the Social Security would be taxable.
Well, how come? Because
it's about $34,000 is the cutoff.
But he's age 63. He's taking it early. Does her income count against him?
Well, yeah, it does. Wait a minute. There's two things. Again, don't confuse the taxability of the benefit and whether you're eligible for the benefit. Remember, that benefit eligibility part is if you're under normal retirement age,
which
can only make up to $15,000 a year.
Right.
And if you do make more than that, then it's two for one. for every $2 over the 15,
you got to give back,
one of your benefits.
But do you combine your wife's income with your income?
On the income tax side, yes, if you're filing a joint return.
Okay. So what he was saying is, let's just say she makes $100,000 a year.
Ah.
Let me just tell you right now, you should not be taking Social Security unless you file.
Well, 85% of it will be taxable.
Well, not only that, not worse than that.
And worse than that, well,
he's got to pay back.
No, it depends on his income, not hers.
It's only based on his.
Only on his when it comes to the payback.
Okay.
The taxability is one issue. How much of the benefit you're eligible for is another issue.
So they're going to, taxing is not the end of the world. He would be getting his Social Security income, and he won't be paying an abnormal tax on it, no penalty. But it'll be lumped together with her income. Right. They're filing jointly, and he'll 85% of his Social Security income
up to 85%
will be subject to tax.
Yes, up to 85%.
But he won't have a penalty because he's not earning over $15,000 a year.
Depends on what he earns. If he earns more than $15,000, then not only would he be paying tax on the $15,000, but if his wife makes $100,000,
right?
But then he might be having to pay back some of that $15,000. Some of that benefit, whatever it is.
Yeah, Ron. So this is a question. And one of the things that can happen is doesn't hurt for you to call the Social Security Administration directly. You can talk to us off the air, but we didn't get your number. But the key is this. Oh, wait a minute. Karen says we got your number. So I'm going to have Vince give you a call probably tomorrow or the next day, and he'll talk to you a little bit off the air to make sure that we got the facts right to give you the right advice.
Right. Absolutely.
1-888-221-8990. How much time we have left, Karen?
Karen, what do we have? Flash us?
She's flashing two minutes.
Right.
You know what? Tom really taught you well. He taught you how to hold up these flashcards. Whoa, wait a minute. Are you moving it to one?
Oh, she's getting ready.
She's getting
ready
to
move it yet.
Don't you have 1 minute and 30 second card?
I have 1 minute and then 30.
It's only 1 minute intervals.
Oh,
and then 30 seconds.
Then 30 seconds. Then don't we have a 15 second interval?
Yeah.
And then you have a zero, Joe.
And then we have zero. Then we have zero, and they throw us out. Turn the lights off, lock the doors, throw them out. Hey, folks, listen, thank you so much for your calls. We really appreciate it. We're here to help, and we've been blessed, all of us. We absolutely feel wonderful if we can help people make their lives better. That's just what we're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
So write this phone number down, 1-888-221-8990. File that away. Now remember, you can call that number anytime. You don't have to wait till the show. You can leave your name and number. You can tell Karen or Pastor Tom, hey, have one of those guys give me a call because I have a question. We'd be glad to help anytime we can do it. 1-888-221-8990.
And another prayer call for Pastor Tom, and hopefully he recovers soon, and would like to see him back in the studio.
Yeah, he should be back to work pretty soon. I mean, he's laying around the house. I mean, just because he had triple or quadruple bypass surgery.
Listen, he could get lazy sitting around the house.
No kidding. Hey, Tom, you know, you're going to get chubbier, too. You know, this is...
come on back, Pastor. We miss you.
All right. Not really. I mean, Karen's better looking. You know, she's much nicer.
Well, she is. All those things.
Well, of course, everybody is, now that I think about it. Anyway... hey, until next week, I think. Karen, what do you think? Are we done?
15 seconds.
Oh, she flashed 15 at us. Hey, folks, again, 888-221-8990. Keep that number. Call anytime you want. 888-221-8990. Until next week, thank you.
And good night, all. God bless.
Okay, so you've got.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772 772- 678-7725.
Thank you.